Last Sunday morning, you may recall, we looked at a wonderful promise from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to prayer. That was in John 16, verses 23 and 24. It's the promise that the Father would answer prayer when we came to Him, approached Him in the name of the Lord Jesus and asked in the name of the Lord Jesus. Today I want us to take another look at this vitally important matter of prayer itself and see some things that are entailed in it that I believe will help us if we keep them in mind. I'm sure there's not a one of us here who are Christians that find at some time or another there is great difficulty as we settle down to prayer. In one sense, prayer is simple, and yet in another sense, it's one of the most difficult things that we can do or that we can engage in. But I believe that as we look at what I want us to look at from God's Word just now, that we'll be helped in some way and to some degree that we'll be able to pray effectively. And I want us just as a basis for this study to look at one verse in this reading, Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What a verse. Now we could pass over that very quickly in our reading and maybe not even think about it. But yet let me say it to you, that here, if rightly understood, is a tremendous source of instruction that we may become more effective in prayer and get great enjoyment out of the time we spend before the Lord in prayer. Let me say first of all then about prayer, the purpose of prayer. This is the first thing I want to draw your attention from this verse. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. What is the purpose of prayer? Well, let me say that primarily it's not that our needs be provided for. Now, that's a great truth, that we should come to the Lord to pray. We read in Philippians 4 that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And Paul is actually telling us we should bring requests to the Lord in prayer. That is true. But what I'm trying to point out is that we need to keep things in perspective. We need to keep things in balance. That's the big thing. And primarily, the purpose of prayer is not just to pray that we have our needs provided for. And also, along with that, the purpose of prayer is not primarily that we bring our desires to the Lord and He grants us our petitions. Now, again, let me say, that's so important that we have that privilege and facility. We are allowed to bring our petitions to the Lord. Sure, we saw that last Sabbath morning from those two verses in John 16. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. So we can bring our desires to the Lord, and if they're in accordance with His will, He'll grant them. But that's not primarily the purpose of prayer. Rather, the purpose of prayer primarily is that we have fellowship with God, that we get to know God better, that we fellowship with Him and His Word. When we come to pray, we're talking to God, and whenever we read the Bible, God is talking to us. That's it in theory, and that's the way it should be in practice. And that, my dear friend, is, it's a two-way conversation. That is communion with God and fellowship with God. And when you do that, you get to know God better. Now, let's say, for instance, you're introduced to a friend. And you text to that person. And that person texts to you. And feelings begin to be mutual. And you like to be in each other's company and doing things for each other. Well, what has happened? The more you get to know that person, the more fellowship and communion you have. That's what is meant by friendship, friends. If you have acquaintances that you call friends, but you never talk to them, or you never let them talk to you, There's no communion there. It's just a friendship in name. But maybe whenever something good happens to you, you get on the phone and say, "Hi, where do you hear this?" And you tell them something nice that's happened to you. Or maybe it's the other way around. You're in big trouble and difficulty and you say, "Who can I go to?" After you go to the Lord, well, you go to your friend, the person that you can confide in and say, "Could you give me some advice on this particular matter?" There's a friendship there. What's happening? It's a two-way conversation throughout your lives. You talk to him and he talks to you. You talk to her and she talks to you. That's the way it is with the Lord. But this part of the conversation, or this part now we're looking at, is our talking to the Lord in prayer. And so primarily the purpose of prayer is fellowship. What would you think in your family if you have a son or a daughter and there's that closeness there by the ties of nature? But your son or your daughter never talks to you, except maybe when they're trying to get something out of you. But they never sit down and say, "Hi, Dad," or "Hi, Mum." And they begin to tell you things that's happened in school or happened to you in your friend's house and how great things have been happening. That's fellowship. You would think it's strange that your son or your daughter or your wife or your husband would never speak to you in the house, rarely, unless it's on times that they have to do that. That would not be right. Well, that's the way it is with God. The sad thing is, the only time that some Christians pray to the Lord is when there's a big heap of trouble. And even then, you have no confidence going into the Lord's presence. Ah, but whenever you're in fellowship with God day by day, whenever you come to Him and talk to Him in prayer, when there's no trouble, and whenever you draw aside and thank Him for sending the Lord Jesus, thank Him for saving you, and thank Him for being with you, and thank Him for the food that He gives us every day, and all the other material blessings He gives us, fellowship is taking place. And then whenever the burdens come and the desires well up, you talk to God intimately, as a man talketh to his friend. That's the way it was with Moses and God. That's how God viewed Moses. That's how intimate Moses was with God, and Abraham with God. And read those Old Testament prophets, how intimate they were with God. They spoke in familiar language, but it was reverent. They spoke with intimacy, but it was always with a sense of awe. Now, God loves that. We are told in Psalm 102, verse 17, He'll not despise or disregard the prayer of the afflicted, but rather He will regard the prayer of the despised. In Proverbs 15, verse 8, we are told, the prayer of the upright is His delight. You want to give God pleasure? Talk to Him more often than what you do. And then again, we read in Acts 10, verse 4, whenever Cornelius was being moved to lay hold upon Christ for salvation, but didn't know all what he had to do, the angel came to him and said, "Your prayers and memorials have come up before God." God is pleased with prayer, and that's why He wants us to be engaged in prayer, not whenever difficulties arise, but to get to know Him better by reading His Word every day and by talking to Him in prayer. So there's the purpose of this prayer. But in order to be able to pray, we need to make contact with God. How can we make contact with the Almighty God whenever we consider the likes of ourselves, who we are, and the awesomeness and the holiness and righteousness of Almighty God? We need access. How can we have access? How can we, who are sinners by nature, how can we get into the presence of God when God is of purer eyes and to behold evil? That brings me to the second thing, and it's the privilege of prayer. What a privilege it is for you and I to come into the Lord's presence in prayer. But how? Say, for instance, you were ill, and it was beyond the GP, or at least the GP knew what was wrong, but it was out of his field. He would set up an appointment with a consultant, or a specialist, or a surgeon. But you have no direct access to that person. You could not walk over to the hospital and just walk and say, "Hi, I don't feel too well, and I don't believe I'm too good. I need to see a surgeon." No, there are procedures to observe. The doctor makes the arrangement. Then you receive a letter by and by through the post to tell you that you have an appointment in Mr. So-and-so's clinic on a certain date at a certain time. And with confidence, and maybe with trepidation, but with confidence, you can go over to the hospital and you can walk up to that place where his clinic is and wait your turn and know that you're having access. You will see the surgeon. You couldn't do it any other way. And it's the same in prayer. We just can't storm into the presence of God and say, "Hi God, I've got some terrible difficulties here." No. There's someone who makes arrangements for us. I want you to notice at verse 18. "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through him. Who is the him? Well, let's go further up the chapter and see this. Notice verse 12. "That at that time ye were without Christ." Keep Christ in mind. Verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus." Keep him in mind. Notice again, further on down that chapter, you come across his name again in verse 14 and verse 16. "For he is our peace." Who? This Christ Jesus. Notice verse 16. "That he might reconcile." Who does it? Christ Jesus. And then in verse 18. "For through him," he's talking about one person all along here. He's talking about Christ Jesus, the Son of God. "Through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And ladies and gentlemen, let me pause for a moment and say, yes, it's through Christ. You must never forget that. You must never forget. I must never forget. When we're coming to the Lord in prayer, the only way that we can get into the presence of God is by Christ Jesus. That must be kept in mind. And to go further, it's Christ Jesus crucified and by the blood that he shed. Now, the blood of Christ is so important in biblical theology. In fact, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. We can't have our sins forgiven without the blood of Christ being shed. That's why the blood is central in biblical evangelical theology. You can't have salvation without it. And all of these wicked sins that make us unclean, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's only the blood can forgive us, and it's only the blood that can cleanse our lives. The Bible tells us we are slaves to sin. We're under the tyranny of sin. And there's only one way that we can be set free, and it's called redemption. And the Bible says ye are redeemed, bought back by the paying of a price, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the blood of Christ forgives, it cleanses, and it redeems, it sets us free from the slavishness, the slavery of sin. And whenever Paul was writing to the Romans, and it's on the wall behind me in Romans 5, he says, justified by his blood. The word justified means declared righteous. No legal charges against us. We've been acquitted from our sin. And in Colossians 1 and in verse 20, listen to these words. We have peace through the blood of his cross. Peace. Legal peace. Peace where there's no more enmity between God and us. God is nothing more against us. We have been reconciled by Christ's death by the shedding of his blood. There's peace. And then there's that peace of mind that comes in right away. Once legal peace has been made, the enmity's put away. then the peace of God that passeth all understanding keeps our hearts and our minds through Christ. It's the blood of Christ that does that. Now, there's another thing. Not only forgiveness, not only cleansing, not only redemption, not only justification, not only peace, but there's access into His presence. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Don't lose Ephesians 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and turn to verse 19. This is so important. It's the same as Ephesians 2 and 18. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The holiest was that place in the tabernacle where the blood was brought in by the high priest of Israel on the Day of Atonement and put to the mercy seat. And he went in by the blood. There was no other way that he could get in. In verse 14 of chapter 9 of Hebrews we read, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. But here in Hebrews 10, we are told we have access into the holiest of all. That's where God dwells, and it's only by the blood of Jesus. That's how this access is secured. It's secured by the precious blood of the Lamb. So whenever we come to pray, ladies and gentlemen, as most people in the church who are Christians here, they will do. Keep this in mind. I'm coming to the Almighty God. I can't be flippant. Yes, I can be familiar. Yes, I can talk to Him freely. But I must be reverent. He's God and I'm on earth. He's in heaven and I'm on earth. Yet I can come right into His presence, but it's only through the access provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that. There's no way you can get in. Just as the GP got you the appointment with the surgeon or the consultant, couldn't be done without him. So the Lord Jesus, the great physician, the sacrificial lamb, the savior of sinners, the great apostle and high priest of our profession. It's he, by the shedding of his blood, that gets us into this meeting, this appointment with God. So think of that whenever we come to pray. Even though we may not say it in as many words, sometimes prayer has to be shut up to God very quickly, but always keep it in our minds. The only way that I can pray is through Christ, and the only way that I can get to God is through Christ and His precious blood. So that's the great thing. There's first of all the securing of this access, this privilege of access. But notice very quickly, secondly, the utilizing of it. Once we have it, once we know now, I can get into God's presence, I have an appointment with God, and it's through the Lord Jesus and His work, make use of it then. To go back to the illustration of the appointment with a surgeon. The person has the date, got the appointment card, goes over to the clinic, but doesn't bother going in. They're not, it would be strange, they're not utilizing the appointment. Everything has been laid on. So in they go, they knock the door, or else they go to the desk and the receptionist says, you'll be called in a few minutes. Whatever it is, you're there to go in. So now that we have got access to God in prayer by Christ and His precious blood, go in, ladies and gentlemen. Get down before Him in prayer. Whether you kneel, if you can kneel, it's good. Whether you stand, stand. Whether you sit, sit. Whether you lie, lie. Whether you're driving the car, do it. Whether you're cleaning up the working kitchen, do it. Let your heart go out to Him in prayer through Christ and through His blood. Utilize that great facility of access. And then thirdly, let there be not only the securing of it, the utilizing of it, but let there be the appreciating of it. Now you appreciate this, ladies and gentlemen. Think of who you're coming to. The one that I'm allowed to see or to talk to in prayer, and the one that knows all about me, is the Almighty God who never had a beginning and will never end. The one who created the world and created me. The one who keeps all things in their courses and seasons, the stars, the moon and the sun, and the seasons of the year. The one who keeps the blood going through my veins. The one who keeps my heart going, my mind going, until his purpose is fulfilled and he brings me home to heaven. Think of this mighty God. He's eternal. He's almighty. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. He's immutable. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's good. He's loving. He's kind. That's the one to whom we're coming to. But Paul goes a little bit further. Not only the mighty God. Look at this verse again in Hebrews 2 and 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He could have said unto the mighty God. But he didn't. Why? It is the mighty God to whom we're coming. But he's showing us here the tenderness of this. This is lovely, my dear friend. The Bible tells us God is the Heavenly Father of all of them who are his people. The model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. John 17, the Lord Jesus spoke to God as Holy Father and Righteous Father. There's an intimate relationship between every believer and this august, awesome, almighty God. And that relationship is, we have been born again, we're in the family of God, and therefore the Christian can say, God is my Father. Is that not tremendous? Time and time again in God's Word, he's addressed as the Father of lights. So yes, we come to God, the Almighty, but remember, he is our Father. So what we're seeing is the purpose of prayer, it's to have communion with God primarily. And then the privilege of prayer, we have this access right into God through Christ and his work. We should make use of it and we should appreciate it and thank God for it. But then I want you to notice lastly, not only the purpose of prayer, not only the privilege of prayer, but the practice of prayer. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Brethren and sisters, the Holy Ghost plays an important part in your praying and mine. Let's continue. Now that access is gained, now that Christ has brought us into the presence of God the Father, now that we have come to pray and enjoy communion with God, how do we engage in prayer? Let me say there are two things. First of all, are there not hindrances that we meet with? You say, I know what you're saying is right, that I can't come to God but by the Lord Jesus. But whenever I settle down to prayer, I find terrible hindrances. Well, the hindrances that we may encounter are manifold. First of all, they can stem from the flesh. This old sinful nature of ours just doesn't want anything spiritual. You remember what the Lord said in John's Gospel, the flesh profiteth nothing. Remember what Paul wrote to the Galatians, the spirit and the flesh are at odds with each other. And that's what's happening. Whenever you're coming down to prayer, the flesh doesn't want it. But you know that it's the right thing to do. The new nature wants to pray. So there's a hindrance. And then whenever you get down to pray, you begin to think of this, that and the other, but prayer. Your mind begins to wander on that job you should have done, or that person you're supposed to see, or that message that you've yet to do, and you realize the time is running out. What am I going to do? And your mind is distracted. You find it hard to concentrate. And then whenever these things cease to be a problem, the phone rings. Or maybe the child starts to cry. You thought the child was down for an hour or two sleeping. Or maybe there's a caller at the door, quite unexpected. There are so many interruptions to have to put up with. So many of them. And then another difficulty, another hindrance is you can't seem to express yourself with words and thoughts when you come to pray. Am I not speaking the truth? I have found all of these things in my own experience. And I don't think I would be wrong in saying, if you're in earnest about praying, you have come across the same difficulty as well. But here's the great thing, brethren and sisters. Not only are there hindrances that we encounter, but there's the help that we can experience. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. For through him, in Ephesians 2:18, through him, Paul writes, that's through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And that help is the Holy Spirit. Now let me say it to you, that in God's Word, we're running out of time. I don't know where I am with regard to time, because it says 25 to 7 on that clock in the gallery. So I have no idea what the time is, but I'm going to hurry, because you may have a good idea of the time. And I want you back tonight. Now listen, the Holy Spirit figures very much in the prayers of God's people. Turn over to Ephesians 6. And verse 18, after Paul sets out all the pieces of armor, he says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So there's praying in the Spirit. And in Jude, verse 20, he says, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So this is not just a one-off reference, where Paul says we have access by one Spirit, by Christ, through Christ by one Spirit. No, he's telling us here that the Holy Spirit is involved in this. How? First of all, whenever you feel the need to pray, that's the Holy Spirit. I've been at my study, at my desk, and taking lots of time to get the message sorted out. And there's this feeling, just drop everything what you're doing and talk to me in prayer. I said, but I'm getting a good flow and I've had a hard time getting all of this together. And you let it go, and then a few minutes later, it's that wee nudge again. You need to talk to me in prayer. My dear friend, that's the Spirit of God. So I'll drop what I'm doing. And even if it's only for a very short time, done what I've been asked to do, I'll get back to the writing and studying again. But there are other times it becomes more pronounced. You need to get alone with me. You need to get apart and spend some time with me. That, my dear friend, is the Spirit helping us in prayer. Bringing us to pray. Showing us the sense of duty. And then whenever we have set aside the time to pray, he reminds us. You can't come now to the Father, but only through the Lord Jesus. You must come through him. Whenever you realize that in your mind, that's the Spirit of God bringing that to you. You remember the Lord Jesus said before the Lord went back to heaven, he will not speak of himself. That is, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but he will glorify me. That's the Spirit of God said, now get your eyes on the Lord Jesus and his precious blood. You're coming to the Father. And then again, he will remind us of the need for us to be cleansed from our sins. So we should seek the cleansing of the blood. He'll show us our need of God. And then he will bring words to us. He'll give us words. Start thanking the Lord for salvation. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for this, that, and the other. The Spirit of God is bringing all of this to your mind. And especially, he brings the Word of God, the promises into your mind, and enables you to plead them and present them with fervor. It's the Spirit of God that's doing that. One last reference. Would you turn back to Romans chapter 8? Brings us to a very important part. It's a subject in itself, so we're just going to touch on it lightly and then come to a close. Romans 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Isn't that great? And it's to do with prayer. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's the Spirit of God coming in. He's showing us what to say. And even when we can't put words, and there's just a sigh, just a longing, just a groan that we utter, the Spirit of God as the words there. God knows the words. God knows the mind of the Spirit. And your prayer is taking place, even though you think the grammar is wicked, you can't put phrases together properly. God is in it. And that's how the Spirit of God is helping us. The purpose of prayer, fellowship with God, the privilege of prayer, access through Christ, the practice of prayer, coming to God the Father through the Lord Jesus, by the help and enablement of the Holy Spirit, who is there to help us in this business of prayer. In closing, I want you to notice three things. First of all, the involvement of the Trinity, the Godhead. Did you notice that there in verse 18? We come to the Father. There's God the Father. We come through Him. That's Christ. There's the Son of God. By one Spirit, there's the Holy Ghost. There's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they're all involved in us praying. They're involved in helping us to pray. Secondly, the love that they must have for us to do all of this, to get us into fellowship with the Father and to unburden our hearts and our minds by prayer. And then thirdly, how privileged we should feel and how grateful we should be that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost love us so much, they're working together to make us men and women of prayer. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer.